Glad you're able to come out and be with us today. Welcome you to the worship services. If you're visiting with us this morning, you're an honored guest. Please see the QR code that is conveniently placed in the pew in front of you or in the bulletin. Members as well, please record your attendance. Glad that you all are able to come out and be with us. We do have several traveling during this holiday season, but we also have a good number that are present here this morning. I'd like to call your attention for just a few moments to John chapter 5. And you'll remember that at the beginning of this story that this gentleman who was paralyzed was lying near this pool. And Christ approached him. And as you know, this whole situation culminated with his healing. And it was very interesting. The King James Version in verse 6 of John chapter 5, the conversation, part of it is captured there for us. And I want to read that for you. I'll start in verse 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And I thought, that is really a good question. And it's probably something that I need to ask myself. And maybe we all need to ask ourselves today during this worship service. Spiritually, is there a need? Spiritually, are we going to take advantage of the opportunities being provided for us today? Spiritually, to be made whole? What an interesting thought. Let's enter into worship.
Good morning. If you're following along in your songbooks, we're going to be doing something a little bit different this morning. We're going to sing God's Love Medley on page 120. It's going to be songs 121, 122, and 123, the first and last verse, all back-to-back. We're going to sing it all as one song, just straight through. If it's convenient, please stand as we sing this morning. 121, 122, and 123. Come, let us all unite to sing God.
Sing with us, for Jesus' sake. pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all the blessings you give us every day. Lord, we want to share our thanks for this holiday, this past weekend, Lord. I know that a lot of families were able to get together, but Lord, we need to remember those whose holiday looked a lot different this year because of the storms. Pray that you be with those families. We don't know exactly what all they've gone through. You see the news, and you talk to people that are there, and Lord, we just pray that you give them peace this holiday season. I know it's going to look much different to them than previous years. Just pray that you give us the compassion to not just pray for them, but do for them. And I pray that we continue to do that, Lord. Lord, be with this worship service. We are here to worship you, Father, and we hope that everything done brings a smile to your face. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our songs before the lesson and scripture reading will be 1001, followed by number 15. Our song of invitation will be number 662, if you're following along in your song books. Our songs before the lesson, 1001, first and third verse, then number 15. One change to this song, instead of newborn king, I want us to substitute that word for the reigning king, because he continuously reigns. He's not a newborn anymore, he's continuously reigning. Let's sing together, first and third verse.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the reigning King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful the nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts
followed by the lesson.
Now's the time to take the children to the children's training class. I'll be reading Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 34. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world."
If there are any that didn't notice, this is the time to take your children to children's training class. So if you have them and have not yet left, right now is a good time to go. Our prayers have been requested for two or three special needs. I was handed a note before worship this morning that the newest grandbaby of Chris and Poppy Steele, and I believe this would be Ewan, who was born just over a month ago, is in pediatric intensive care in North Carolina with RSV. Poppy, I understand, is on her way there to pick up the other two children. And so we want to pray that this child will be restored to health and will do well very quickly. And then also, I received these requests by email. Alvin Bailey and Faye, I assume as well, will be traveling to Ohio on Thursday for the funeral of our brother-in-law. And he asked that we pray for safe travel. They'll be coming back on Sunday, leaving on Thursday, coming back on Sunday. And then Tia Smith, that we've mentioned before, who is a member of the Hemp Hill Church of Christ in Kentucky, writes, "First of all, I want to thank everyone who sent cards of encouragement our way. Those kind words from brothers and sisters were so uplifting. Please continue to pray for us. We now have our home. We're in the process of getting utilities hooked up. We've seen God move in such a mighty way the last few weeks in this process. We are grateful for all he has done and for those who have prayed." And I know there are many others that are in need of our prayers, but more than our prayers, and in need of God's help. And so we're going to be going to God right now on their behalf. Will you pray with me, please? Our God and our Father, we are so in awe of you. You are the creator of all things. You are eternal, perfect in power and in wisdom. But Father, especially, you love us. You are merciful and gracious to us. You've given us your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us. And Father, we can never thank you enough for these wonderful gifts. And now we thank you for this ability to come to you and ask for blessings for people that we care about. Father, we want to pray for this grandchild of Chris and Poppy, who is in intensive care. We pray, Lord, that this young child will be strengthened, that those who are attending to his needs will be given wisdom, and that his body will respond very quickly. Father, watch over Poppy as she travels and give her safety. Just bless them, Lord. We know their hearts are concerned, and we just pray that all things will work out well. We also pray for Alvin Bailey and the travel that he and others are facing for a funeral in Ohio. And we pray, Father, that all will go well during this trip. And we're so thankful, Lord, for the blessings that you've given Tia, our sister in Christ. We pray that you will continue to bless her, Lord, and help everything to continue to go well. And Father, just help us all to see that you do listen to our prayers, that you do respond. And Father, we pray that we will depend on you more and more every day. Bless us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. It is so good to see you this morning. We have a good number here with us, more actually than I thought we'd have on a Thanksgiving weekend, but looks like a lot of you got home in time for Black Friday, so hopefully you are not totally exhausted from that. And we're awfully glad all of our visitors online are with us as well. Glad that you're here with us as well. Of course, Thanksgiving, a time to thank God, but every day is Thanksgiving for his people. And every day we are blessed. There's no doubt about that. So it's good to come together as his church to bow before him and to be strengthened in our resolve, to be reminded that, yes, the Lord is active in our world, and to pray for his guidance every day. So we're glad you're here with us today. Pray that you'll come back again this evening at 6 o'clock. Josh is going to be bringing the lesson then, and we look forward to that. But really would like it if you would come back and join us here in the building, if possible. If not, then join us online. But this is the Lord's Day, and let's do all we can. Anybody visiting with us today, we're really glad that you're here with us. We have visitors. I've already met some, and thankful that you're here. I urge all of our members to look around and greet those that you don't recognize. Do it for me, because I have to rush out after I get through preaching to get up to the prison. I have to be in place by 1 o'clock, or else the men don't get to come to the worship service. So that's why I have to rush out on these Sundays where I preach up there. But look around, greet people that you don't know. Let's all enjoy being together, share smiles, handshakes, share love, because God has given us an abundance of it to share. Now let's get into our Bibles. Hope you've got your Bible with you, that you will follow along with me as we get into this lesson and learn some things that will help us to know what is ahead and how to live this life even better. This past Wednesday, I was alone in the building at the time, and a man came by and said, "I'm here to pick up my Thanksgiving bag." And I thought, oh no, that was yesterday. And by that time, we had already given out just about everything that we had. I was able to pull together a pretty good amount for him, but I felt for him. And he said, I've been through surgery, I get my days mixed up, and he was sincere. He really thought it was on Wednesday, but he sincerely missed out. He didn't get the full benefit of having that blessing. And that kind of thing happens a lot. People show up at the airport maybe and they're an hour late for their flight. "Oh, I just was sure it was this time." Well, I'm sorry, the plane is already gone. Maybe you should have gotten your information from an authoritative source, because we can be misinformed. We can hear things that really are not true. And that's why we need to seek for that which is authentic. In Job 14 and verse 14, Job raised a question that almost everybody has, and that is, if a man dies, shall he live again? If a man dies, shall he live again? And if you've ever stood at a graveside, you've wondered the same thing. Is this the end, or is there something beyond? It is a very significant question. And on a question like that, we need the right information, don't we? I mean, there's all kinds of ideas out there. There are those that will say, well, yeah, you just keep coming back again and again and again, reincarnated in this form or that. Maybe this time a human being, that time an animal, maybe a tree, a rock. That's not authentic. Can we find anything authentic to tell us about an afterlife? And as we've been talking all year in 2024 about authentic, the Bible is the place to go. The Bible will give us true information on anything it informs us about. You can count on it. And so today we want to ask, Lord, tell us, will there be life after death? And the quick answer is yes. Then what can we know about it? So let's see what is authentic about the afterlife. First of all, let's look at some things that Jesus said about the afterlife. Jesus said a lot of things during his time on earth about it, but first of all, we might ask the question, why Jesus? I mean, why should he be considered an authority? Well, Paul gave us this bit of information in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, where Paul said, which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, when Paul said Christ abolished death, that doesn't mean that people don't die anymore. It simply means that death is no longer the feared enemy that it once was. But I want you to focus more on what he says right after that, that he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. If something is in the dark, you don't know it's there. You don't know anything about it. But when the lights come up, now you can see. Now you understand there is something there. And Paul said that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. He has brought light and life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's good news. Maybe. Well, let's see. What did Jesus say about an afterlife? Will it be a good thing? Will it be a bad thing? What did Jesus say about it? Well, I would suggest we turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, we're going to spend a few minutes there, so open your Bible. Let's look at it together. Don't take my word for anything. Take the Bible's word for everything. And so let's look and see what the Bible says about an afterlife by the one who brought life and immortality to light. Matthew 25, now first of all, I'll note in Matthew 24, verse 3, Jesus had just shocked his apostles by saying, you see these stones of the temple? There's coming a time when not one stone will be left standing upon another. Now think about that, completely disassembled. And their idea must have been, which is what Jesus was saying, it's going to be destroyed. And so they asked the question in verse 3 of Matthew 24, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, they've asked three questions there. What will be the sign? When will these things happen? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? I'm convinced those are two different questions, and Jesus treats them as such in Matthew 24. But notice they ask him, what will be the sign of your coming? Will he say anything about that? Well, yes, in fact, he does. And now let's go to Matthew 25 and look at verse 31. This is part of what Josh read earlier in our scripture reading. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. When the Son of Man comes and all the angels with him. Now, Jesus was already there. He had already come in the flesh. Is he talking about another time that he would come? And that's obvious. That's what he's saying. If, in fact, you were to go back in chapter 25 and look at verse 19 for a moment. Matthew 25 and verse 19. Here Jesus is giving the parable of the talents. And a master has given three of his servants varying degrees of resources. Here, put this to work while I'm gone. Make more out of it while I'm away. And then in verse 19, Jesus said this in that parable. Verse 19 of Matthew 25. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Now, what Jesus is saying there is the master left, and then after a long time, he came to settle accounts. And then he begins talking in the latter part about this vision of the great judgment day that would come. So is he talking about a second coming? Absolutely, that's what he's talking about. Jesus says, I will come again. I'm going to go away for a while. In fact, it will be a long while. It's been now almost 2,000 years. But I will come again and settle accounts. So there Jesus gives us a bit of information about the afterlife. It will commence when Jesus comes again. Something that has not yet happened, but it will happen according to the Lord. Now go further with me in this same passage in Matthew 25. Verses 32 and 33 now is what we're looking at. He's already said in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. So what do we learn from that? We learn from that that all people are going to be judged. All people are going to be judged. After all, he said, all nations will be gathered before him when he comes and sits on his glorious throne. He is sitting there as king. He is sitting there as judge. And now they're all assembled. In fact, let's say we are all assembled in his presence. And then what happens? He separates the sheep from the goats. And what does that suggest? It suggests judgment. It doesn't take a lot of smarts to say, well, that's a sheep and that's a goat. It's going to be more than that, I suspect. But the point is, there will be a discerning. There will be a determination that you are a sheep or you are a goat. And depending on which category you're in, here's where you are. You're on the right hand of the Father or on the left hand, one or the other. And so there is the idea of the judgment. And then what? Well, let's read on again in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 25. And now we find this. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Inherit the kingdom. And by that we understand he's talking about heaven. It is being prepared now. It will be something that will be awarded to those on his right hand, those that are the sheep, and that will happen after judgment. And then you go down to verse 41 of the same passage. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And again, we know what that's talking about. The lake of fire is often the image that we're given to talk about eternal punishment or hell. And so either heaven or hell, those are the two alternatives that are given there. And again, notice this happens after judgment has occurred. And then in verse 46, the last verse of that chapter, then these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And notice that both destinations are eternal. I know there are many people, in fact, there have been theologians that have said, well, hell will be something that will just totally annihilate them. They're gone, they're done, they're history. But the same word is used for both destinations. Your translation may have everlasting for one, eternal for the other. In the Greek, they're both the same word. And so the idea is that whether I go to heaven or whether I go to hell, there is where I'm going to be throughout eternity. And I am sent there after the judgment. And I know some people think, well, you know, that's something that we just go on to right now. Once I die, then there I am. But notice what Jesus says there. He comes, he judges, and then we are sent to our eternal destination, whichever of the two that may be. So Jesus' disciples on this occasion, they were focused on the temple because that was tragic news to them. I mean, you're talking about the temple of God in Jerusalem. It's going to be destroyed. They were just focused on that, and Jesus was trying to get them to see there's something far more serious to consider. I'm coming back to judge all people, and eternity will be based on how you are judged. And could that be the same with us today? I don't know what we're focused on right now. It varies according to each individual. For some, it may be thinking about what a wonderful time we had with family. Others may be thinking, well, you know, Christmas is coming. I got to get this shopping done. I got to get that accomplished. Others may be thinking about, you know, some terrible illness or whatever it may be. The afterlife eclipses all of those. The afterlife is where we're going to be through eternity. And so Jesus is trying to help us understand, these are the things to really think about it will affect the way you live. And of course, one of the big questions that a lot of people have is, you know, well, when is this going to happen? And then that was the very question that the apostles asked him on that occasion, when will these things be? I want you to notice a couple of other verses in chapter 24 that we'll just mention, and it's not really part of what we're saying, but it is a factor. Matthew 24, verses 43 and 44. Jesus said, but know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And the image there of a thief, we get that. I mean, you may not have been broken into at any point in your life, but you know it could happen. And that's why you lock your doors at night. That's why you lock your car when you get out of it at the mall, parking lot. You leave it, you know, you lock it. That's why we take precautions. We're ready in case the thief should come. And Jesus said, my coming will be in the same way, which means I need to be ready at all times because the afterlife may be nearer than I imagine. I mean, some of us are older, some of us are younger, and I can understand the younger ones. You're thinking, well, I'm young. Why do I need to be so concerned? Well, the master could come at any time. Plus, there's all kinds of things that can happen in this life to take us out of this life unexpectedly. These are serious matters we need to focus on. So now let's look further. We've laid out what Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 25. Let's talk about further affirmation of these afterlife truths. Well, what I want you to see is this isn't just one passage that maybe we're miscuing, you know, we're misunderstanding it. We didn't get what Jesus was saying. Well, if we didn't get it there, there's plenty of other places we can get it. For example, Christ is coming again. Jesus said that when the Son of Man comes with all his angels, he'll sit on his glorious throne. There's plenty of other places that say the same thing. For example, Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Here's the scene. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He has spent about 40 days now on earth with his disciples, and now the time has come for him to go back up into heaven. And while they're standing there, he is lifted up into the air, and a cloud covers him, Luke tells us in verse 9. Now, listen to what happens in verses 10 and 11, Acts 1, 10 and 11. While they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So here are two men in white robes that are saying, he's going to come again. And he'll come again in the same way that you saw him go. How did they see him go? They saw him go up into the air, swallowed by a cloud. And now take that thought with you to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. And here John, in a vision given to him by God, says this in Revelation 7, chapter 1 and verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. That says Jesus is coming again. And we're all going to see him. You may think, wow, I wish I could have been there. You know, we were not there when the Lord went up into heaven in his ascension. That would have been an amazing sight, I have no doubt. But we will see him come again. Every eye will see him, John says. There'll be no doubt on our part. The Lord has come. We may doubt it now. We won't doubt it then. The Lord is coming again. And these are just two passages out of many in the New Testament where we're told, very simply, the Lord is coming again. The Lord is coming again. When? We don't know. we need to be ready at all times. But secondly, the idea that we've already noticed, all people will be judged by Christ. Isn't that what Jesus said? All nations will be gathered before him, and some will be on the right hand, some on the left hand. All nations will be judged by Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says this very clearly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, where Paul said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So who's going to be there on the judgment day? Well, what did Paul say? What did he say by inspiration? We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us will be judged according to what was done in the body, whether good or evil. That says it very clearly. In Hebrews chapter 9, 27 and 28, I suspect you've heard Hebrews 9, 27 a lot. It's a very commonly quoted passage. Hebrews 9, verses 27 and 28, just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. I mean, it's pretty certain, isn't it? We don't like to think about it, but it's pretty certain that we're going to die at some point if we live long enough. I mean, we're gonna die. Whether we live long enough or not, it's going to come to all of us. But then he says after that, the judgment. It is just as certain as death is, unless the Lord comes first. And of course, then those people will not die in the traditional sense. Their bodies will go through a change, but they won't go through physical death. But then he goes on in verse 28. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. And so again, the idea that Jesus is coming, and when he comes, judgment will occur. And every one of us will be judged. If you've ever been through a college course of any kind, and even if you've not done that, if you've been in a high school class, almost always at the beginning of the semester or the term, the teacher, the instructor, the professor will get up and say, here's what you can expect in this course. And almost every time there will be a final exam. Now, will you be ready for that final exam? That's up to you. That was up to me. But we knew about it. We were told. In the same way, we're being told right now, there is a final exam for all of us. We're going to be judged according to what we have done. And so the safe thing is for us to always be found in Christ, the only safe place to be on the day of judgment. And then the third idea that we heard Jesus talk about in Matthew 25, and that is eternal reward or punishment begins after judgment. You don't have to look far to find this. Look at the obituaries. And so commonly it is stated in the obituaries, at least in this area, I don't know how it is in other places, so commonly people will say they stepped out of this life and now they are in heaven, surrounded by their loved ones. That is such a common idea. And I know their hearts are right, I know they want to believe that, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not teach we go directly from death into heaven, or directly from death into hell. Didn't we hear what Jesus said? The Son of Man is going to come, all nations will be gathered before him to be judged, and then they will be led away to their eternal destinations. And again, that's what we find in other passages. Jesus himself, John chapter 14. John 14, we love this passage. Jesus said, you know, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And then in verses 2 and 3, he says this, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Does it sound like Jesus just said there that I will come and take you there? That's what he said. It's not like we're going to, leave this life by means of death, and then our eyes are opened in heaven. That's not the way it works according to the Bible. It's after the judgment. And then also 2 Corinthians 5, let's look at verse 1 of that passage. We noticed verse 10 earlier, but look at verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. For we know that if the tent of that is our earthly home is destroyed, and he's talking about death there, obviously, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Clearly, he's talking about heaven for those who are the followers of Christ, those who are the righteous in the sight of God. And then take that idea back to verse 10, which we read earlier, where he said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. When do we receive it? After judgment. And so again, this idea that immediately we leave this life and go straight into heaven or straight into hell, I understand. That's a comforting thought. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Now, I will give you comfort in this way. The one passage where we know anything about what happens immediately after death is Luke 16. We're not going to read that right now. Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. And Jesus there talks about a rich man and a beggar who both died. The beggar, who was a righteous man, even though he had suffered in life, he was comforted. He was there by the side of Abraham. He was there in a beautiful, wonderful, comforting place. And that, I think, is the comfort we can latch onto. Yes, our loved one that died in the Lord, I know they are now at peace. I know that they're being comforted because they lived and they died in Christ. But to say that we go straight into heaven, that's not what the Bible teaches, despite what so many around us say. People want to believe that there is an afterlife. They want to believe that. In fact, I found a study that was published on December 7th of last year, not quite a year ago yet, by the Pew Research Center, and they found, and this was on the topic of spirituality among Americans, and they said this, more than 8 in 10 Americans believe that people have a soul or spirit, 83%. Now, the percentage of Christians in America is not nearly that high. But 83% of Americans believe I have a soul or a spirit, and 81% say there is something spiritual beyond the natural world, even if we cannot see it. And you see, the idea is, I want to believe this. And every time I go to a funeral of a loved one or stand by an open grave, I think this cannot be the end. There has to be something more than that. But were it not for the revelation of God, that would just be wishful thinking. But it doesn't have to be wishful thinking for us, because God has revealed these things. God has shown us there is an afterlife. It can be a wonderful event, an experience that will go on throughout eternity, or it can be a horrible event. It all depends on my choice and on your choice. I'm wondering why anybody would choose a horrible eternity when salvation has been made available freely for everyone. For those that hear about Jesus who came to this earth and lived in the flesh, lived a perfect life and was willing to go to the cross and shed innocent blood to atone for our sins. Do you believe that? And if you believe that, are you ready to turn away from anything he tells you is a sin, repenting of it? Are you ready to confess him before others and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Then forgiveness is right there for you. It is within reach, within moments. And we pray that if that's your need this morning, that's what you'll do this morning. And the rest of us who have made that decision already, have we continued on the path? Have we been faithful in following our Lord? Or has sin pulled us back off the path? Then we need to come home and say, Father, forgive me. I repent of my sins. I ask for forgiveness. Can we help you in that way? Can we pray with you and encourage you? Whatever your need may be this morning, we urge you to come while you have the opportunity as we stand together and sing.
For the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 18, Faithful Love. Number 18, the first and second verse. Faithful
love going down from the
Stand on me. we'd like to prepare you communion cups. You know, the bread of the supper, the bread that we're about to partake, it represents the body of Jesus. The fruit of the vine represents the blood that was shed on the cross for us. And, you know, Jesus chose to, he chose two physical things to represent two spiritual things, right? He used the two physical things to represent those two spiritual things of Christianity. He gave his fleshly body, and he poured out his blood for man's salvation. And when Christians partake of the supper, we're remembering Jesus. We're proclaiming that he died for us. And we should always examine ourselves as we partake of the Lord's Supper. The Bible says that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we're proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. 1 Corinthians 11:26. So as we partake of this bread, let's examine ourselves. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the day that you've given us, for the blessings that we have to come together and worship you. We thank you for Jesus and the fleshly body that he gave for us. Pray, dear God, that we'll partake of this in a way that is well-pleasing with you, and that we'll examine ourselves in a way that is appropriate. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Would you pray again with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we come back to you again. We thank you so much for the sacrifice. Thank you so much for the sacrifice that Jesus gave, that he poured out his blood for us, poured out his blood for our salvation. Dear God, we can't thank him enough for his sacrifice and for your design, that we might have that salvation if we just follow your will. Pray, dear God, that as we examine ourselves, that we might do so in a way that is well-pleasing in your sight. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Would you pray with me as we pray for the offering? Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for the part of the country we live in. We thank you for the things, the material things that we have, the blessings that we have. We know we're richly blessed to live where we are. the things that we have, the abilities that we have. And dear God, that we know that you love a cheerful giver. We pray, dear God, that we'll give back in a cheerful way. And we pray that the things that we give can go towards ministries that can help those that are around us, especially with those that are suffering so much. Pray that those things that are collected can help the ones that are around us, not only just here locally, but those that are abroad with ministries that are far-reaching. And pray that everything that we gather can be put to good use to further your kingdom. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we're truly grateful and been able to say today as we leave, it's been good to have been in your house. We're thankful for the opportunity that's been given us today to learn, dear God, from one who has studied and applied himself to the understanding of your word, so that we may know that when this life is over, what the results will be if we truly are in Christ and we truly are working toward that end. We pray for every soul represented here and for every family. We pray, dear God, if there is a need that has not been verbalized or made known, that would be before day's end, be it spiritual, emotional, or physical. I pray, dear God, our response to that would be in a manner that's well-pleasing unto you. We ask for the blessings of safe travels. We soon leave this place. This prayer we offer in Christ's name. Amen.